The male-to-female gender imbalance is tilting further in China. Statistics have shown that there are nearly 13 million more males than females born in the 2000s. So this is actually quite an alarming figure, but let's look at what's going on.
Well, now, the reason why we're talking about this is because this year, people born in the 2000s are entering university, and pretty soon when they graduate, they are looking, well, they'll be in the right age to marry, and suppose this is why people are thinking about it. And this year, Chinese college has welcomed the first batch of freshmen born in 2000. These students will enter the age for marriage in a few years after graduation. There's a challenge awaiting them, the imbalanced sex ratio in China. Now, the definition of sex ratio here is the ratio of males to females in a population. And according to the results of the 6th National Census conducted by the National Bureau of Statistics in 2010, there were a total of about 146 million people born in the 2000s, and there were nearly 12.64 million male more than female, and there was about a million or even more male than female in each year. And for people born in the year 2000, there were 7.83 million male and 6.62 million female. The male-to-female ratio at birth was 118.23 to 100, and the male-to-female ratio at birth was between 117 and 121 to 100 in following years. So the situation seems to be exacerbating. And for example, the ratios at birth for people born in 2001 and 2002 were 118.45 and 118.9, and the figure rose to 121.06 in 2009. There were 8.58 million male born in 2009, 1.5 million more than that of females. So a lot of figures here, but I guess the general idea is that every year more males are being born than females, and that's causing a lot of trouble in this country.
Well, that is, I guess, problem in the horizon, so to speak, and we are seeing that this gap becomes bigger and bigger. So, Tony, have you seen how big this gap has grown into, and what should the ratio be if we were in the perfect world?
Well, in my experience, I actually had a little bit of exposure to this when I was in South Korea. When I was living there, there was, you know, a lot of people would tell me that, you know, there's a lot more men in the country than women. And at that time, I didn't really understand, because back home, it's not really an issue that we deal with so much. So I was really curious about what's going on in South Korea. And they told me that, well, you know, here we have a lot more men in the country, because, you know, it's preferable to have a boy in the family as opposed to a daughter. So I still didn't quite really understand until they gave me a little bit of history on, you know, what happens in South Korea. And so there was some practices that would improve the amount of males that came into their families. And so sometimes it was kind of sad that I heard that there was a little bit of like some abortions that took place in order to have more males in the family. So that was my experience so far with it in South Korea. In China, so much, I actually don't see a big difference between men and women here in the country, and in my experience.
That's interesting, as actually the figures sometimes offers us, I guess, a more exact, closer look at what's going on nationwide. And we see that in the 1980s, the male-to-female ratio remained below, actually, surprisingly, 102.
Mm-hmm.
So that is,
I would call it a balanced ratio.
Yes, and I guess just looking at the figure, then nobody's having issues per se to find a significant of other if you were in a male and female relationship. But this figure increased rapidly in the 1990s. According to data from National Consensus, the ratio surpassed 110 after 1995 and continued to rise since then. The male to female ratio born between 2001 and 2005 was more than 118, and it rose to 119 between 2006 and 2010. This is actually contrary to what I thought things would have turned out, mm-hmm. because as we see
in schools.
Yeah, and also in countries as they become more developed and when there's less of a focus on having a male heir, then supposedly things would become more natural in having a balance between the two genders. But we're not necessarily seeing this. And according to the World Health Organization, the ratio between men and women is supposed to be around 105, meaning
slightly more men than women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
because I think one experienced mother once told me that it's a lot more troublesome to bring up a boy than a girl, because a boy, as boys, they are naughty and they get into all kinds of accidents. And also in childhood, boys are more vulnerable to get sick than girls. I mean, that's according to an experienced mother. I'm not sure that's true, but perhaps that's the reason why WHO wanted more boys to be born than girls. And also, historically speaking, yeah, when we go back in time, where we were hunters and food gatherers, and obviously boys and women, they are boys and men, they experience more challenges and risks in their lives, because they're putting their lives on the line when they're trying to kill, say, a lion or an elephant. Mm. More often than not, some get killed. So nature favors more men than women, and that's the natural way. But apparently the figures we are seeing now in this country, like 20 more boys for every 100 women, that's just imbalanced.
Yes, that is certainly an alarming figure, increasingly so. And Tony mentioned that, yes, in the Eastern Asian way of looking at the genders, you know, traditionally there could be this preference of having a boy. And in China, how did we come to become this way that we have so many more males than females?
Well, I would think of it as more like a socioeconomic issue. Previously, before I talk about or study this issue, I realized that perhaps the way people organize their lives has to do with this gender imbalance. And then, and the fact that you, Tony, shared about South Korea just lent more credibility to my theory, because I believe, because not in contrary to what people look, to how people perceive South Korea as a developed country, but for those of us who travel to South Korea, they realize that perhaps only the capital city and another second biggest city are the most advanced, and where you see high and tall skyscrapers, where you perhaps you see the urban way of living. Outside these two cities, you see this is mostly rural areas. So I can see how the rural way of living has a lot to do with people's way of thinking, because, well, let's face it, the rural way of living relies largely on physical labor, and therefore they have a huge demand, a much higher demand on men than women. So it's natural for families to want to have boys than girls, because when they grow up, they will be able to handle more farm work.
And that perspective that I gave you from a lot of my colleagues in South Korea, it was actually in a very rural area. It was in the southern part of Korea, near the Busan area. And there was a lot of farming and agriculture. So, I mean, and that could have just been the perspective from, like you mentioned, people from areas that aren't as developed. Because, in these areas, definitely the labor of men is necessary.
Because that demand for labor is real. I mean, in China, because even in developed countries like South Korea, there's this way of thinking, or this belief in the idea that we need more boys than girls to farm the land. Then it's only natural that here in China, as a developing country where most of the population work in the fields, it's natural for them to have that kind of feeling or that kind of hope to have more boys, because what is real about farming is that, well, I grew up in the village. I realized that having more boys means more productivity, because what goes on in the fields is that there isn't always work in the field, like 24/7. So what happens is that during harvest season, you have a high demand for labor. And in that case, families with more boys, they will be able to finish the farm work sooner than other families. Mm-hmm. And in case where families don't have boys or don't have enough manpower, they have to ask for favors from other families. And also in cases when families get into arguments over the rights to the land, obviously the family with more boys are going to have a stronger power over the family that only has girls. So I think it's a very natural and very real, and for people in the village to want to have more boys than girls.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point. And I wanted to bring another factor. And in Eastern cultures, I've also picked up on a little bit of the need to carry on the family name. And I mean, as an American, that's not something that's very prevalent in our society. But in my family, you know, my father has expressed again and again that he would really like a grandson, because at this point, you know, we've just been able to produce granddaughters. And you know, granddaughters are a beautiful joy to any grandparent or any parent for that matter.
Butterfly kisses.
But there was this real need, like, Tony, we really need to, you know, be able to produce a grandson. That way the name can continue to move on from generation to generation. So I think that this may also be a factor why some, you know, families prefer a boy as opposed to a daughter.
Yeah, I think it's natural for people to have that kind of ideas. I mean, no matter why. But I can also find socioeconomic reasons behind this way of thinking, why some people would prefer to have boys than girls, still going down to the village way of living. So when you have daughters at home, only daughters at home, and you don't have enough people to man the field, you have to sort of introduce some extra manpower. So in some cases in China, we have men marrying into a family that only has daughters, so sort of to make sure that the land is enough, is tilted by enough people. Mm-hmm. And by that standard, actually, for people holding traditional ideas, then to them, perhaps the land is not passed down into their descendants. Actually, mm-hmm. It ended up in the hands of another, of a stranger with a different surname. And that's practical.
Yes, that's all very true. But gentlemen, if we migrate to the city scene for a second, and especially considering that China has been on this journey of urbanization, increasingly by millions people come into the city to work and live, and so many people have been freed from the land and work in the city and have a home in the cities. So I would have thought that the rural way of life and the rural way of looking at having a boy versus having a girl would have changed. But the thing is, this observation has not necessarily been backed by figures.
Well, you know what they say, old ideas die hard. I think the most modernized city in the country, I think it would be Shanghai, because it's been trying to work as a financial center in the country for many years, even before the founding of the republic in this country. So I can see how, I think I heard people saying that Shanghai people, they prefer girls than boys.
Well, actually, there's a very real reason, practical reason.
Because the housing price was too high and not every family can afford it.
Well, I mean, it is a little big of a burden, I suppose, as in China, as our living standards have improved in the last few decades, now marrying with the guy bringing an apartment into the marriage has become more or less a premise. And not everybody agrees with that, but it seems like it's sort of part of the common standard, unfortunately.
Well, housing as a precondition to marriage is also based on a traditional way of thinking, in the sense that even though we are trying very hard to make the society a gender equal society, but the fact of the matter is we are still not there yet. The society we live in is still by and large patriarchal and paternalistic. A lot of the top jobs are being held by men, and by that standard, therefore, people expect men to be more resourceful, and therefore people naturally expect men to bring more expensive commodities or more expensive resources into the marriage. And because what is marriage in the perspective of some people but an alliance of economy?
You just brought us back to the Middle Ages. Yeah. But yes, I think some traditions and conventions hold true even till today. But certainly I think in a marriage, a lot of people are looking, certainly from the female point of view, a lot of people are looking for stability. So if you have a guaranteed roof over the head, then that is a good thing. But one thing I wish we had more detailed figures on is, I wonder with this gender imbalance nationwide, how much of it is contributed by the rural population and how much the urban population? Because there is this discussion about that in cities, maybe there isn't so much of a gender imbalance where the selection of the sex of the baby isn't maybe as prevalent or as favored in as comparison in some of the rural households, possibly?
I think this also requires a looking back into history, because China has been, well, it has only been opened up to the outside world for about 40 years. And within this 40 years, China went through a rapid stage of development. Many people went into cities, but still, I think last time I checked, we have about 900 million people who's living in rural areas. I could be wrong, because people are swarming into cities as we speak, and but the fact is that all of this happened in a very short period of time. So a lot of people who live in cities, like what I do, I have families in rural areas. My grandma had a piece of land for herself, and she spent time in the field. So it's natural for her to stick to the traditional way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And so the short period of time could account for that. And also, what's interesting about the figure He Yang shared is that the gender gap really began to expand in and around 1990s. That's when China began to introduce or implement the family planning policy, or in other words, one-child policy, in a very strict fashion. And I'm not sure everybody knows about this. Actually, there's a little allowance for people living in rural areas, precisely because people had need for manpower in the village. And that stipulation is that it's okay for families in the rural areas to have a second baby if their first baby was a girl. Mm-hmm. So that sort of aggravates the issue, because when for families that already had a boy, they wouldn't bother having a daughter. But for families that had a daughter, they would most certainly want to have a boy.
Mm. Yes, and this is almost like a revisit of the path that we've been marching on in the last 4 decades, I suppose, that we see this has been happening. But as we see this growing gap between male and female population, what kind of consequences do you think it will bring to society?
Well, I feel if there's a lot more men than women, there's definitely going to be some issues in dating, and that it's going to be a lot harder to find someone if they're all taken. For example, Professor Lu Jiehua on demography from Peking University pointed out that if male population surpass the female population, the marriage squeeze problem will be more severe. So I feel like a lot of people are going to have to go through life either without getting married, or they're going to have to probably look to maybe another nation or another country, someone from another society to get married with.
And the situation is going to be made worse by the fact that actually some kind of polygamy was being practiced in the society. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, we are still living in a society that's largely patriarchal or paternalistic. And therefore, people, men are more likely to have more power over resources, and therefore they would, either through extramarital affairs or other forms of polygamy, have access to more women than the other way around. And so therefore we can't just simply look at the statistics, say that for every 100 women, yeah, there's going to be a 20 men who can't find a partner. But actually the situation can be much worse than that. It could be 30 or 40, but well, depending on how strictly we enforce the marriage law on monogamy.
Well, that's one thing, but also when I see more and more girls are entering higher education and even getting a master's degree or another postgraduate degree, well, when you look at the world history on this, it seems like when women are more educated, they marry later or maybe not marry.
Or not marry at all.
Yeah. So, Liming, on top of what you just said, also when you look at different social classes and different regions people live, rural versus urban, often... Well, this is what I hear, as you know, we live here in Beijing, that lots of my girlfriends who are at a marriageable age find it very difficult to find a mate or someone that, you know, that's considered marriage material. And whereas in, let's say, the rural parts of certain regions in China, then you see that sometimes men with... who are at marriageable age can't find a partner. So it's not so cut and dry, but actually the situation is far more complicated depending on where you're at.
Yeah, you mentioned a good point in terms of women having a lot more education. I mean, when they're more educated, they have more resources in terms of employment, and they're more independent. They can make a lot more money. And when you have more money, you're able to dictate how you want to spend that money and make more choices in a relationship, as opposed to some of the traditional married lives for, you know, a lot of people all over the world. So a lot of women that are more educated and making more money now, they shy away from that traditional way of living. They don't want to so much stay home with children. They don't want to, deal with being told so much what to do by their husbands. So it's a bit more complicated in terms of them wanting to get married. They're more selective about on who they choose to be their partner, and even still the in terms of what they expect their partner to make.
Yes, definitely. So in light of all of this information, how can things be better to close this gap or make it smaller in any way?
Historically, if that's any reference, I think the only way to go forward is to perhaps to provide more better education and also continue to push for urbanization. Because I think in the U.S. there's only 2% people who are working in the agriculture, and that's why I think, Tony, you can't see a lot of people hoping to have a boy over girls. So I think urbanization is the way to go.
Yes, and also we have now the second child policy that people can have more babies if they want. We'll be back after this short break.